Mike and Diane, I just want to personally thank you for all the work you've done. I've had some idea the work you've been going through hauling to set this up. And I'm grateful that everybody was able to come sooner. Ronnie and I were talking about the trying times that we're in right now. I guess it's just going to go from one trying thing to another. As Ronnie was saying, there's nothing new under the sun. What were you in Ecclesiastes talking last night? Go through cycles in this life. Now, I got a bunch of things up here. I've got permission to have them in the room. So don't be telling me you shouldn't have this in here. I've got a dispensation from God to have all this here. You can't eat it in the room. But your participation in this event will definitely determine what reward you get. All right? It's going to be dependent upon your choice and what you do, your actions. I'm not going to force you into this administration of work, so you've got a choice. Now, before I get into John 1 and deal with that, there's one point I'd like to address that actually goes back to a year ago at this time when we met at Boscobel at the conference, and I spoke. The subject I dealt with was things that differ. And I said that there's a point in our life where we draw a line and say we aren't going to go any further. This is what we believe. And Bob and I were talking about this last night. Individually, we draw a line in the sand and we say, okay, this is what I believe right now. I may not be right. I may be wrong. This is where I draw the line. This is where I'm going to stand in terms of understanding of God's Word, understanding the right division of His Word. So I dealt with that last year at this time when we were conferencing. I'd simply like to footnote that right now before we get into John chapter 1. And I'd like to read something to you from a book. The book is called Deceived on Purpose. And the book is written by an author that's dealing with the subject about purpose-driven life. That's a big thing right now in Christendom. The driven life. And then there's a couple other books out. I don't know what the titles are. Dealing with the subject of a strong personality. God's going to provide all that you need in your life, and you're a wonderful person. And that's the idea. Anyway, the author, he's dealing with the New Age force and movement in what he said, but I just want to pick this out because it deals with things that differ. Christians, especially Christian leaders, need to be very careful about their use of words, any word. And that has such special meaning when it comes to the New Age and the new spirituality. One of the main ways that the new spirituality is sneaking into the church is through this kind of overlapping vocabulary, meaning where a word is said, we understand it one way, the person speaking means something totally different. Where Christians unknowingly use words that are heavy in the New Age meaning, words like force. I bring this up because I want to bring up something before you as a body, as members of the body of Christ, something that I'm concerned about. I'm not being dogmatic by bringing it up and saying that you have to follow my thinking. I simply want you to know where I stand regarding the body of Christ and rightly dividing His Word. That's the point is. I'm not going to dog you and say you need to do what I'm saying. But it deals with the word Christian. If you go to Acts chapter, we're going to start Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. context. Who is the main characters in this situation? Stephen, up in verse 19. Who's the they, though? I'm just looking at the context of who's being spoken of. People being scattered abroad in verse 19. And in verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Okay. Verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now we all understand that this book is addressed to an administration that is outside of ours, right? What God's working with is the nation of Israel. Next, go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. This is where Paul... Excuse me? You're certainly. It's Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Welcome. The context of this is, of course, Paul is in the different trials and times of being questioned. And here he's before Agrippa. And after Paul has spoken, Agrippa says in verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now again, that term is with an administration that is outside of the one that we are in. The next reference is 1 Peter 4. Verse 16. I'm showing you the verses that have that English word Christian. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. And it reads, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him be not ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. And once again, this reference is an administration that is outside of ours. The point being addressed this morning, again, I emphasize I'm not being dogmatic. I'm simply sharing with you where I stand, where I've drawn the line in the sand. I honestly believe that we need to drop that from our hard drive. As a man told me one time, the hard drive up here, I think we need to drop that term from our vocabulary of when we talk with each other or about each other. If Christendom wants to use that term about themselves and about us, that's fine. I think within our family, I think within our greater body of Christ, we need to stop using that term. We need to stop saying that we're Christians. Not to say that we do not have Christ within us, but that term is found from a different administration. And I believe it causes no end of confusion within the body of Christ, within Christendom, when we say that we're Christians. I don't care if we call each other believers, members of the body of Christ, but I think in terms of rightly dividing the Word of God, and more precisely in terms of us living the rightly divided Word, we should stop using that term within our fellowship. So that we rightly divide the administrations, we rightly divide who is being addressed, and try to eliminate some of the confusion. Okay, with that, I'll leave it as that. Just my thoughts on the situation. Now, we go to John chapter 1. If you turn there, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, when my wife found out that I had been assigned this chapter, she laughed. I don't know if she was laughing at me. I know she wasn't laughing with me because I wasn't laughing. I don't know if she was laughing at me or at the situation, but she laughed. And she laughed only because she knows things about me that only she can know, being my spouse, of my background, my past. I don't know if you got a direct revelation from God, Mike, to assign these. You did.
Just happened that way.
Okay. I'll tell you right now, for you to have assigned this chapter to me, it is a big challenge. A major challenge in my life because of what I came out of from youth, starting with the Methodist Church. And I'm not going to get into that right now because that's done. But to show you an example, when I was in the adult Sunday school class in the Methodist Church, I was allowed in as a teenager, so I was one of the few left in the church that was going to church. The teacher of the class was talking about the Trinity, talking about the Godhead. And I had no end of questions regarding this subject, as I'm sure any of you have. So I went up afterwards and asked him, well, what is this Trinity? Can you explain, give me a better understanding of what this Trinity is? And his response to me, I can still picture him sitting there 30-some years ago, sitting there at the table. I can still picture the whole surrounding because it made such an impact on my life. His statement to me is, well, no, it's a mystery. We can't understand it. Well, people react, as you know, in different ways. Because Ronnie was talking about children. Was it this morning you're talking about children? How they push the limits. Well, not that I was a child, but some people in that situation would react and say, okay. Well, I went this way. I was like, what do you mean you can't explain it to me? So that probably was the beginning of a quest within my heart that you cannot imagine, having not gone through what I have gone through and continue to go through in regards to trying to understand who and what Jesus Christ is, His Father and the Holy Spirit. So this chapter is a big challenge to me.
Okay. Lord.
I guess so.
Good luck.
Thank you. Now, we're going to use some visual aids here. And like I said earlier, your rewards are going to be totally dependent upon how involved you become with this. How involved you become with this. Last night, Bob and I were talking about the callings and how God basically, I'm not trying to quote Bob, but just trying to paraphrase the conversation, how God basically leaves it up to the people to decide what they're going to do, what they're going to believe, what they want to do, how far they go or don't go. Every one of you have got those decisions to make today, this hour. Well, how many minutes I got left? 35?
30.
Okay.
29.
Okay. I don't know how much this is going to show up here. I just want to draw the outline so you've got a context and know what your boundaries are, right, Ronnie? Okay. We're going to start, I'll start reading in John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, yet without Him was not anything made not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now we'll stop there, because the next two verses is what we're going to focus on. Before I focus on them, Lynn and I have been reading, as Ed, was it Eddie you said, Charlie Welch? Is that what you said? Okay. I don't know him that personal, so I'll call him Mr. Welch. No. Mr. Welch's book, Life Through His Name. Now, I'd never read the book before, but we decided we want to go through the book. I think it's the introduction. Is it the introduction? It's 61 pages long, dealing with the first 18 verses of this chapter. That's just the introduction. So Lynn's joyfully reading through all this, and I'm going, when is this going to end? There's only 18 verses. I mean, you're talking about, what, 5 pages per verse? No, not that many. 4 pages per verse? I thought, how far can a man go into explaining what's in these verses? But he went 61 pages into explaining that. So we got through that, and Lynn said, what do you think about those verses we just went through? The verses I just read. I said, I think they're there. I'm glad you read them, and let's go on. Which she didn't like to hear, because she wanted to discuss it. And I said, I've got nothing to discuss. It says it all there. We'll just leave it alone and move on. Okay, the verses we want to look at. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, Mike says we want to look at the manifold natures.
Manifold nature of the work of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay. We're going to look at some of the manifold works of Christ through this visual aid. And this is where you come in. Because as we go through this, you're open to suggest what I'm doing, what this is, and you'll get rewarded for answers. The one that explains can tell me what I'm doing. Two different areas. What I'm doing here by this drawing wins the whole package. The ones that give an answer will give one item. Well, the one that gets the answer I'm thinking about, without me explaining it to you, gets all of it. Okay?
Is your car included?
Do you see the car?
Oh, I thought maybe the keys might be.
Can explain what I'm doing here. What this is, I should say, what this object is I'm drawing, and the one that can explain why I'm bringing this all out, the whole purpose of doing this visual aid and this subject of these verses, will get the other prize. Those that give an answer, I'll give you one, and you'll know that, hey, that's not the answer. Okay? That's the only explanation I'm going to give you. So don't be asking me, well, what are the other limits? You know your limits now. And if you get out of line, Ron, he's going to spank you. Because he knows how to keep limits, right? Okay. In fall of 2003, I planted a garden bed. Okay, so the answer is not a garden bed. I planted a garden bed with seed. That's the outline of the garden bed. Which direction? this particular line, I planted garlic seeds. Okay, I planted garlic seeds in this one. This one, I planted garlic seeds. This one, I planted garlic seeds. Now, the next lines I planted in were cherry pits and grape seeds, grape, G-R-A-P-E. The seeds that Mike was eating this morning, those grape seeds? And this one was cherry pits and grape seeds. And this is cherry pits and grape seeds. Now, I planted those fall of 2003, and of course they started germinating that fall. And they waited through that first winter. Nothing big going on because they were young. The next year, of course, it was a jungle of garlics coming up and grape plants coming up and cherry trees coming up. And went through the whole season of wonderful growth. Well, I did not put a fence around this bed that winter. We got a lot of rabbits up in Wisconsin, our area in Wisconsin. You know what happened? This got mowed off. The rabbits chewed off the garlic tops, the cherry trees, the grape vines. I saved a few of them. I got a fence up after the fact. I thought, I lost everything. You know something? The next spring, 2004, a few things did come back. A few things came in here. Well, actually, the garlic came up pretty good. The garlic, and the garlic. But in these lines, there was a few cherry trees. And there are a few grapevines scattered here and there in the different rows. They grew up. And that fall, I learned my lesson. I put a fence around it this time. And those remnants survived and went through, and they survived for this year. By the way, you're allowed to, if you have any ideas of what I call this, you can start saying things, because otherwise you're not going to get any rewards. That's a very good idea. That's a very good idea. You get a reward for that thought. Now, next time, would you like that or a peach? So, you can throw out ideas because, see, you aren't going to be. You are not going to be penalized for giving an answer that's not according to what's up here. You're going to be rewarded. So you've got everything to gain to keep throwing out ideas. Okay? So they came up in 2005, and I've actually started transplanting the cherry trees and the grapevines out. I've moved all the grapevines out. And I'm moving the cherry trees out now. I've dug up all the garlic to eat. In fact, you may get some of it today that I dug up. guess what I planted in there for this fall? This is not, you don't get a reward for answering this question. Guess what I planted in this item, this boundaried area? Guess what I planted to try out this year? Yeah, I've heard that. That's not what I planted.
Potatoes.
You're right. What would you like for a reward?
The keys.
It's not within the context. There's only this and this and this to choose from.
What's that, this and this?
Well, yeah, I can't tell you this.
What?
This is double chocolate and these are peaches. Yes, I planted potatoes in two different areas to try to do a test bed. I'm going to cover them up this winter and see if they survive the winter in Wisconsin, and we'll come back up by themselves instead of digging them up and planting them every year. So that's what I'm doing. I got a test bed of potatoes, and I maybe fill the rest of the area up with garlic. Do you have any thoughts on what I call this bed, the garden bed? No, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about reality in terms of what is this physical item, this square of land, garden, right? What would you like for more?
The chocolate.
Oh, I just overshot. Good thing I didn't go out for basketball. This actual block of land, I just said the word to you before. I told you. Would you like a peach or chocolate? I know what women like. I gave you the words before of what I call this. This block of land. You're right. You just want either seed bed or a test bed is what it is. It's like the world that we're sitting in. Now let me ask you this question. You got a choice in this situation. Now, you ladies have got a choice. Do you want to have the...
Don't heave a peach back there.
Do you want the bag of chocolate, or do you want the big box of peaches? Do you have a choice in this situation? Yeah, the next person that answers the question will get what you do not choose. Now, you've only got a few minutes to decide this. Don't... You want the chocolate. And you know something? I give you permission to do with these what you want. Now that we've gone beyond this point, now I want to talk metaphorical. Now I want to talk spiritual. We've gone beyond the physical, which we deal with every day. Yes, but that's not the exact answer. It is what you're talking about. But there's something more specific regarding a certain group of people. picture of. No, it's of a special calling. Oh, by the way, yeah. Look beyond what the different items are in here. This is dealing with what I'm talking about is a special calling. It's a certain group of people. Who would that be? Would you like garlic or peach? I'm telling you, you're not going to be punished. Church of the One Body. I don't know if you're getting to that. Were you? Okay. Okay. We consider ourselves a Church of the One Body of Christ. And we are of a calling that is unique. If I can metaphorically say, this is us. We are those cherry trees that got chewed off. Last fall, we are the garlic that got mowed down. We are the grapevines that got chewed off. A few of us came back the next year. And is that not what happens to the body of Christ? There'll be a flourishing of a lot of people that come and say, I'm just all excited about what's going on. They get mowed off, and you end up with a remnant coming back the next year or in the years to come. Is that not a testing from God? Is that not His way of finding out those that will be faithful to Him? Is that not one of the manifold nature of Christ? That He's putting us through all this to find out what our heart is like. Which sign do I have left?
You have 9 minutes.
Okay. Verse 11. Back to John chapter 1, verse 11. We read, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, that's a key thing, they received Him, they took His word and they ran with it. They were like Noah, who was given a command to build the ship when there was absolutely no reason to do it. None. Nothing within the realm of the five senses was there a reason to build a ship on dry land. Verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, I know this diagram was kind of backwards compared to this, but the point that's being made by this diagram, the point being made that I hope you saw through all this, is there are callings. And the callings are dependent on rewards. What we gain out of the calling are dependent upon what we do, how we react in the situation. And it's not easy trying to figure out what all God's trying to do right now, is it? Sometimes it's so confusing you wonder, God, why do you allow all this confusion to take place in my life? Why do you allow me to get mowed off like I let the rabbits chew those plants off? Why do you allow this confusion? And there's many people right now asking, why did that hurricane hit down in Louisiana, right? I'm sure that question's been on every one of your minds. Why did he allow that to happen? Not on your mind. Okay. I'm glad you got the answers. Questions come in our mind, why does he allow these events to take place? We have to make the choices. We have to, as it says in verse 12, receive him and cling to him. Even in the midst of the confusion, even in the midst of the destruction and damage that may take place in our life, he is sending us through a test bed. He's got us in a test bed, this world. He's trying our hearts to see what we're made out of and if we will remain faithful. So that's a manifold, one of the manifold, what did you term it? Nature of Christ?
The nature of the manifold works.
Nature of the manifold works of Christ. This is one of those, one of the aspects of Christ. And with that, I got one piece of chocolate left. Who wants it? Why do you people react so slow? With that, I'll